This morning, we're going to turn back in our Bibles to John chapter 12, where we left off again two Sundays ago. And as we go there, I want you to imagine living your life in a room with no light and no windows. A room that is completely dark, not even a hint of light. That wouldn't be a great way to live, I don't think. If we did have eyes to see, to live in utter and complete darkness. But you know, that is spiritually what your world and your heart would still be like if God did not make a way for His light to break into the dark room of your life. It would still be that way for all of us. But when Jesus came, again, He is the light of this world. We've seen that all throughout the Gospel of John. When Jesus came, He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 9:2, which tells us that the people that walked in darkness, again, enclosed in rooms of utter, complete darkness, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So a window was opened to them so that they could have a little light in the darkness of their own life. And so when Jesus came into this world, and really when He came into your life, He came to be a window that would let in the heavenly light of God's grace and God's truth. He came to be a window to this world, a window to your world. And that is why we've already seen all throughout the Gospel of John how John tells us how Jesus came again as the light of the world. And he offers proof. He offers proof time and again through both the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus that Jesus is the window of God's light to this world, to the darkness that we were in, to the darkness that we would still be in apart from Him. In fact, what we even saw last time we were in John chapter 12, there can be one of two responses to the light of Jesus, right? One of two of responses when He reveals Himself as the window of heaven to this world. You can either believe Him or not. That is, you can either trust Him or turn away from Him and His light. There's really only two choices in dealing with Jesus. But as we come to the final verses of John chapter 12, Jesus Himself makes one final public appeal for His people to let His light into their dark lives. And that's why starting verse 44, we're told this, that Jesus cried, He cried out and said, "He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. And he that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of Myself, but the Father which sent Me, He gave Me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto Me, so I speak." Now, even though these verses are found right here in the middle of the Gospel of John, I mean, we still have, 10 more chapters after this chapter, they're actually Jesus' final public challenge to His people. His final public appeal to His people. You see, starting in chapter 13, which we'll get to next Sunday, Jesus actually turns His attention to His disciples. The 12. And those that would follow Him throughout His life and ministry in order to prepare them for His death. But here is Jesus' final public address, final public appeal, and there is an urgency to it. You know, there have always been famous last words of famous men, famous people. And usually if someone is about to die or someone is leaving the scene or leaving this world and they want to give some great word of wisdom, they're going to think about it, they're going to ponder it, and they're going to say what they really mean, what they really want people to understand about their lives, what they really want to stick with them. And that's what Jesus does here. And that's why John records for us that Jesus cried out these words. So everything that Jesus says from verse 40 through 44 all the way through verse 50, he cries out with a voice that was loud and clear so that people would be not mistaking what he had to say. These were his final public words to those people, and he wanted them to hear what he had to say, believe what he had to say, listen to what he had to say, and be changed and transformed by what he had to say. He wanted his people. And even today, he wants us to hear these words and to see that he alone is God's window to this world, to show us the light of God's grace and truth. There is no other way. There is no other one. There is no other light. And that's why he says it loud and clear so that we will listen even some 2,000 years later. And so the first thing that Jesus wanted to do when he cried out these words was to further reassure us, that he is God's exclusive window to this world. To assure us and reassure us that he is God's window to this world. We can see this in verses 44 and 45 when Jesus again cries and says, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth or beholdeth me, is looking upon me, gazing on me, actually is gazing on him who sent me." Now the last people that we met in this chapter were some of the chief rulers that we met there in verse 42. Some of these chief rulers were told, believed on him, but they did not confess him. So these were sort of silent Christians. We read that they were afraid of what the Pharisees would think about them because they wanted to maintain their influence and their status in the synagogues. But also we read that they loved the praise of men rather than the praise of God, the glory of men versus the glory of God. But we're still told that they believed on him. And so this means that their faith in Jesus, though present, was still rather weak, was rather timid. So when Jesus cries out here in verse 44, I believe he first wants to address them. He first wants to address those who did believe in him, even if their faith was weak or even still a bit wary. And he wanted to reassure them and us that he is all that he claimed to be, that he is God's window to this world. And so, to the weak in faith, he reassures that all of his words, all of his works, even all of his will was all from heaven and was all of God. Again, look at verse 44. Jesus cries out, even to those who were struggling with a weak faith in him, those who were afraid of what other people thought about them, afraid of what people would do to them because of their belief in him, Jesus reassures them. He that believeth on me, believeth not on me alone, we can add, but on him that sent me. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus says that he was sent. In fact, this is a theme, one of the main themes that we find in the Gospel of John, that the Father, God the Father, sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to be the Savior of this world. So, again, Jesus says, if you believe on me, you don't just believe on me, you believe on the one who sent me. And who is the one who sent Jesus? God the Father, his own Father in heaven. See, this is why back in chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And that doesn't mean that Jesus was not agreeing with the doctrine or the words that his Father gave him to say. No, they were his words too. But ultimately, all of his words were his Father's words. And then in chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must do the works of him that sent me. Does it mean that Jesus wasn't doing the works by himself and for himself in his own strength, but rather all of his works were done according to God's works, what he wanted done. All of his works were his Father's works as well. And then in chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus even said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the very will of him that sent me. So again, all of Jesus' words, all of Jesus' works, all of Jesus' will were all from heaven and were all of God. And so Jesus says to those who are weak in faith in him, struggling a little bit in their faith and trust in him, to believe in him is to believe in his Father. And that truth can bring strength to a faith that is weak. You see, you have to go back to what these Jews were struggling with. You know, they were looking for a Messiah that would come and defeat the Roman Empire and reset up the kingdom of David right then, right there in Jerusalem itself. And so when Jesus is saying, I'm not come to do that yet, I'm rather come to be exalted, put on a cross, and die, this was not the Messiah that they were considering. This is not the Messiah they were looking for. This wasn't even the Messiah that they were ultimately hoping for. But this is the Messiah that Jesus came to be. And so again, they were struggling. They were weak in their faith. And so Jesus is saying, you know what? All of my words, all of my works, all of even my will, it's not just me, it's my Father. It's God the Father, the same God that you love, the same God that you serve, the same God that you've studied over and over in Scripture, the same God who did all of those wonderful works in the Old Testament. I am doing his works. I am doing his will. I am speaking his word. And so to believe me is to believe in God. This is what could bring strength to a faith that is weak. You see, Jesus was not just another influencer, just trying to get people to follow him. You might have seen on the news the other day about this YouTube influencer that was going to have a giveaway in Manhattan there in New York City. I think it was Manhattan. I don't know if it was or not. But what happened? I mean, he was going to give away some, you know, I guess Xboxes and all these technologies, and there was a great, huge mob that showed up just for the hope, just for the chance to get one of those things that he was going to give away. He pulled up, looked like he was able to give away a couple of things, but then a riot started. And all these people were coming out to try to get whatever he had to give, and he ended up having to leave. He was trying to get a following. He was trying to get people to listen to what he had to say and to look at what he could do and really to line his own pockets with money. And there might have been a lot of people that looked at Jesus and said, oh, he's just one of those influencers, not a YouTube influencer back then, but one of these Jewish influencers. But Jesus says, no, look at my works, listen to my words, see my will, and you will look beyond me and see my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And that would strengthen their weak faith. Jesus was and is God's window to this world to let his heavenly light shine in. And we need to let that truth sink in. We need to let that truth to sink in to strengthen our faith. There's a lot of people in this world that cannot believe that you would take an entire Sunday to listen and to learn more about God and to worship him in that way. I mentioned earlier that there's a lot of people that look at Sunday as just another work day, and so they just, you know, they see it a strange thing that someone would want to take a Lord's Day to be able to worship and learn from him. And they might mock you. They might ridicule you. They might say strange things about you. But when we realize that what Jesus says, what Jesus does, what Jesus desired is not just his own will, not just his own works, not just his own words, but the God who created all things, that will strengthen your faith. He is who he said he was. He is the true Son of God. But then we come to the next verse, there in verse 45, and I believe also, not only does Jesus want to reassure those who are weak in faith, but even those who are wary in faith. Those who are wary in faith, because he adds, and he that is seeing me, or he that is beholding me, he that is looking on me, is not just looking on me, but they are actually looking and beholding and seeing him that sent me. That is God, my Father. So there might have been still some standing there who were on the fence when it came to Jesus. Now, obviously, these chief priests, these chief rulers, you know, they believed in Jesus, but it was a weak faith. Here are some who were probably still on the fence and had a wary kind of faith. Maybe they didn't yet believe in him, but they kept on beholding him. They kept on watching him. They kept on listening to him, trying to compare notes and observing to see what he would do and what he would say. You see, to them, Jesus says, when they look at him, they're looking at God the Father himself, because he is God's window to this world. Just look at me, he says, and you won't see just me, you'll see my Father. You'll see the one who created you, the one who formed you, Israel, the one who redeemed you, the one who did all those wonderful works that we read in Psalm 78. You're going to see God in me, because I am God's window to this world. If you remember back in chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus also said that the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. In other words, Jesus never did anything apart from his Father. They were unified in mission. They were unified in purpose. They were unified in action. And then later in John 14, verse 9, we'll get to this here. He will say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. What this means is that even though, yes, there is God the Father, and there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit, there are three distinct persons in the triune God, yet the connection between God the Father and God the Son, and we could even add God the Holy Spirit, is so close and so intimate that to see one is to see the other. To hear one is to hear the other. And so they did not need to stay on the fence. They did not need to doubt any longer, but believe in him. And that ought to be the message for our own hearts. If we struggle in our own faith, whether it's weak or wary, or maybe there's someone that you know that is watching you and really trying to watch Jesus through you, you can say, you know, when you see Jesus and you hear Jesus, you hear and see the God who created you and made this entire plan for you, so that you can experience his grace and his truth in your life, just like I've experienced his grace and truth in my life, so that they don't have to just keep beholding him, but even believe in him. So whether your faith is weak or still wary, look to him, because he, Jesus, will strengthen your faith. But then as we move forward in these verses, Jesus also, when he cried out these words, he wanted to further reveal even more of God's grace and truth as God's window to this world. He wanted to further reveal God's grace and truth as God's window to this world. And we see this in verses 46 through 48, where he summarizes much of the message he preached throughout his ministry. In fact, if you look at all the different themes in these verses about Jesus' light, about Jesus' will, and his works, and his judgment, and all of these things, we've already learned about these things. There's not a lot of new things that Jesus portrays here and gives here, so he gives it one last effort. He gives us one last appeal to believe in who he is through what he says. And so he summarizes much of the message he preached throughout his ministry. It may even be that Jesus addresses these words in verses 46 through 48 to the ones we met back in verse 37. The Jews who, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So they didn't have a weak faith. They didn't even have a wary faith. They had no faith. They resisted him. And yet, what does Jesus do in these verses? He wants to give them another chance, even another opportunity to believe in him. What a gracious Savior. Verse 46, he says, I am come. I am come a light into this world, so that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same, that word, shall judge him in the last day. I mentioned earlier to imagine being in a room that is completely dark with no doors and no windows. How utterly hopeless that might feel. But now imagine if there really was a window into the darkness of your room. And there was light coming through that window. People would think you're crazy by not looking into that light or not trying to see what's beyond that window and what is the cause of that light. Instead, you say, oh, it is so bright. Turn it off. Turn it off. I love my darkness rather than the light. I want to keep my mind and my eyes and my face toward the ground because I just don't want to see the light. People would think you're crazy. But you realize that from the very beginning, God had a window of light into this world. And it's the same light that Jesus tells us about in this gospel. He is the light of this world. He's always been the light of this world. Even when Adam and Eve sinned against God and rebelled against God there in the Garden of Eden, what did God promise? He promised that there would come a seed of the woman that would crush that serpent's head. And who is that seed of the woman? The light of the world, who is Jesus? So the very first mention of the gospel was a window to this world of God's heavenly light that if they would just look and believe, they would live. And yet so often, so many times, over and over again, they kept their eyes down. They kept their eyes shut because they couldn't handle the light. And yet Jesus again says once again, I am come as the light into the world. So there in verse 46, Jesus wants to reveal once again, even to those who rejected him, even those who kept their eyes closed to him, he wanted to reveal once again his great might to shine on them, to shine in them, even those who are still living in darkness. This reminds us of what Jesus just said a few verses back in verses 35 and 36, where again, he's making this appeal to his people. He says, yet a little while is the light with you. Don't waste the light that you have. I'm only here for a little while longer. Don't waste it. Walk while ye have the light, he says in verse 35, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Jesus came because he wanted to bring his light into their darkness. And Jesus still wants to do that to us, for us, and the people around us. Jesus wants to bring God's light into our darkness so that we no longer need to live in that darkness. Now the question for most of us here is, are we still living or abiding in darkness? You know, we're talking on Sunday nights about the enemy of our flesh and how the old man of our flesh still indwells us. And even though we have victory in Jesus and victory through the cross of Christ, yet there's still an ongoing victory as we continue to fight against our flesh, but yet that flesh is still there. And there are times when we still abide in darkness, and sometimes we get to a point where we're even hopeless and in despair because of our sin and our lust and our flesh. Jesus wants you to know, even today, that there is still hope for you. And there is still help for you. Because when you believe that He is God's window to your world, He will still bring you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He is able to bring light into your darkness, whatever that might be. So do you realize, as a Christian, you need not remain in darkness? Isn't that a wonderful truth? Those who have closed their eyes to the light of Jesus, they have to remain in darkness until they respond. But you and I need not remain in darkness because the window of His light has shined into our heart. But do you also realize that one day you will not abide in darkness? That's a promise. One day you don't have to worry about the darkness of that room, the darkness of sin, the darkness of your heart, the pull of your flesh to sin. One day you will dwell in that heavenly light where there's no darkness whatsoever. That is the light that God has for you. So now what do? Look to Jesus so that you do not live in darkness. So often, even as Christians, we take our eyes off of Jesus as our light to help us out of our darkness, to help us out of our sin, to help us out of our lust, to help us out of our flesh. But instead, as a Christian, you need not remain in darkness. You will not abide in darkness someday. So now you can look to Jesus so you do not live in darkness because of 1 John 2:8, the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. It is the great might of Jesus to shine into your life, and that will transform your life. That's what Jesus wants to keep revealing to you. So Jesus cries with a loud voice and says, "Look to my light. I am your window to the heavenly light, not just for salvation, but for sanctification, for your whole life as a Christian. Look to me as your light." But then, in verse 47, Jesus further reveals his great mercy. His great mercy as well, even to those who do not believe in him. And that's why, again, verse 47, he says, "If any man hear my words and believe not," remember, they saw his miracles. They saw his power. They saw when people that were blind were able to see, that were deaf who were able to hear, even Lazarus. They saw someone who was dead who came back to life. And yet, they didn't believe. So Jesus addresses them and says, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." Now that's a twist, isn't it? That's a kind of a surprising turn of events there. Because when we tell people things, we want people to believe them, don't we? And if people don't believe what we have to say, a lot of times, well, you know, we're going to take it back. Well, if you're not going to believe what I say here, I'm not going to tell you anything else. We don't see that kind of vindictiveness or vengeance in Jesus' voice at all. He says, "Even if a man does not hear my words and believes not, I judge him not." Why? "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Doesn't that further reveal the mercy, the great mercy of Jesus to save even those who would not believe in him? Now, this does not mean that Jesus is not the judge, because he is. We know that. All you have to do is go into the book of Revelation, and you see Jesus as the judge. Nor does this mean that Jesus will not judge, because he will judge. What this means is that the mission Jesus had at his first coming, his first advent, his mission to this world was, according to Luke, to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose. That was his plan. That's the gospel. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So until the final judgment, Jesus offers sinners time and space to repent and believe in him. Jesus is that window of God to this world, of his grace and truth, to bring salvation to sinners like us, to bring salvation to sinners like your neighbors, to bring salvation to sinners like your friends. In fact, that's why John wrote this entire gospel. If Jesus did not come to show his great mercy to this world, then what was the whole point of the gospel? What was the whole point of the gospel of John? John 20:31. John says, "These are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." That is the great mercy of Jesus, to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. But then we come to those strange words that we read in verse 48. Where Jesus also wants to further reveal his great message to those who would not believe in him. To reveal his great message. You know, the message that brings salvation to those who believe it, at the same time, will bring shame to those who don't. The message of salvation that brings hope to those who hear it and believe it, will bring shame to those who don't. Again, verse 48, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." And what is that judge? What is the one that judgeth him? "The word that I have spoken." That word, the same, shall judge him in the last day. In other words, when the judgment day arrives, and there will be a day of final judgment, we know this from Scripture, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess the Lord Jesus. There is a day of judgment, and in spite of what the world thinks, in spite of what people think, there is a day of final accountability to their Creator and to the Redeemer, to Jesus Himself. What Jesus is saying here is that even then, He will not need to bring an indictment against them. You know, there are some criminals that would say, I did not commit that crime. In fact, they might have been arrested and given these charges against them, and they're still insistent, I did not do that crime. And perhaps only when they get before the judge and they hear the indictment of the judge and they hear the verdict of the jury, guilty to this crime, that crime, and the other crime, maybe only then will they say, okay, I did that. To throw themselves the mercy of the court so that they might get a reduced sentence, whatever the case might be. But what we have here is that the words of Jesus that He already spoke, the words and the message of the gospel itself, at that day of final judgment, those words will be ringing in their ears, judging and condemning their own souls. He won't have to say another word to remind them what they did, that they did not believe in Him, that they did not receive Him, that they did not obey Him. The words that He gave in His life and ministry, they will come back to haunt them. You see, it's kind of like a child, or maybe not all children, but certainly me. When I was a boy and I did something wrong and I got caught or something happened, there was a consequence that, you know, my mom or my dad would say, you know what, if you do this, this is going to happen. And they warned me. They warned me. Usually what happens is when I did that and I experienced that consequence, those words came back to mind. Those words came back to haunt me. My parents sometimes didn't need to judge me. Their words that they already said to me judged me and condemned me and caused me that shame and guilt. But you know, the message that Jesus gives is not of what not to do, but rather what to do. He says, look to me, believe in me, and live. And that's all they had to do. And when they finally appear before God, and they finally appear before Jesus at that second appearance as judge, He won't have to say anything. The words that He already said will haunt them and condemn them and judge them themselves. But you know, this message is not just the red letters that we have in this book. It's the entire Bible. This message has been around since the beginning. I mentioned the first mention of the gospel in Genesis 3, even in Ezekiel 33:11. This is just a representation of God's message, of Jesus' message, that will haunt those who do not listen to it and do not believe it. Ezekiel 33:11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, he says, from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Jesus is still God's window to this world, to reveal his grace and truth. And through both the welcome of the gospel and the warnings of the gospel, the welcome is turn, and the warning is if you don't turn, this will happen. So through both the welcome and the warning of the gospel, God wants us to look to Jesus to experience his light. He reveals these truths to us. But then we also find a third thing that Jesus wanted to do when he cried out these final words to his people, and that is to further remind them and to further remind us that he alone is this window of God's grace and truth to this world. And this is why he adds, verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself. This kind of reminds us of what he said earlier in verse 44 and 45. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So once again, Jesus reminds us of the close connection between him and his Father, that close, intimate connection. And because of that relationship, Jesus wants you to trust him, to know that you can trust him. You can trust everything that he said, everything that he did, because he was doing everything according to the commandment of his own Father in heaven. You can trust in his faithfulness to his Father. You see, when Jesus spoke his words, they were not just his words. They were the very words of his Father. Verse 49 again, Jesus says, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And Jesus was faithful to those words. And you can trust his faithfulness. Jesus never went a different way, a different route, or said a different thing than what God the Father commanded him. Now, here we have a mystery. A mystery in the wonderful relationship in the Trinity. Because whatever the Father told or commanded his Son to say, Jesus said. And Jesus said it willingly, submissively, and lovingly. But that is why you can trust in the faithful words of Jesus that he has given to us. And again, not just the red letters that we find in the gospel, but all the letters of his word. Trust him. Look to him. He is trustworthy. But you can also trust in his favor, the favor of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, because when Jesus says there in verse 50, I know that his commandment is life everlasting, it's not that just he knows it, but he affirms it. He even approves of it himself. Now, what commandment is Jesus talking about? What commandment did God the Father give his Son? The commandment is the message of the gospel. The commandment is, go and tell those sinners in that dark room of this world that all they must do is look and live. That all they must do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they can be saved. That was the commandment of God the Father to Jesus. Go tell them. Go tell them that you are the window to the heavens. You are the window to that world. You are the window of light. Go tell them that. So Jesus did. The message that he came, that he might give us life, and that he might give it more abundantly, that is the message that is life everlasting. That is the message that brings life everlasting. Again, the message that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. You can trust in the words of Jesus, in the message of Jesus, because they are God's window to this world of his favor and grace to all who believe. Jesus is faithful to that message, and Jesus is in favor of that message. He wanted to come. He wanted to share. He wanted to give his life a ransom for many so that you could believe in him and have his light in your life. But you can also trust in his function. His function is the very word of God. Just as Jesus says at the end, the very end of this public final message, crying out so that all who was around him might hear, whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And don't we need this reminder even today? You can still trust in the words of Jesus because Jesus is the very Word of God. That's his whole function. That's why he came. He is the very Word of God. And you can trust in the whole Word of Jesus because of his faithfulness, his favor, and his function as the Word of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has been God's window of light into this dark world from the very beginning. So whenever you need reassurance for your faith, whether your faith is weak or still just a little wary, what do you need to do? Look once again to Jesus, who is the very author and finisher of your faith. I think we all struggle in our faith. Sometimes we'll even say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We have that weak faith, that we have that wary faith. Look to Jesus. Once again, he will strengthen your faith because all of his words, all of his works, all of his will flows from heaven itself. He is our light. Or maybe you struggle with darkness. What should you do when you struggle with darkness in your life? Once again, look to Jesus, who will continue to reveal to you his might, his mercy, and his message so that you will no longer abide in darkness. When you struggle with sin, when you struggle with temptations, when you struggle with those trials, remember that his light came to shine in your darkness so that you won't abide in it anymore. He is your hope. He is your help. But what about when you're bombarded by the doubts and fears that the world hurls upon us for our faith? We see this all the time, don't we? Even to the point that some who say they are the family of God and say they are churches really are opposed to what God teaches in His Word. You need to remember that as the Word of God, Jesus will always remain faithful to the Word of God. And that's why we can trust in what His Word has to say. All because Jesus is God's window not only to this world, He is God's window to your own heart. So when you think about yourself in that dark room without any light, you know, the other day I was in Shelbyville and I went by the courthouse, and just behind the courthouse is the county jail, I believe. And I saw some of the windows above, and those windows had bars in them, and I knew that that was probably where the inmates were. That's the way all of our lives are spiritually. We live in a dank, dark room of sin, of darkness, of rebellion, of rejection of God. But there's that one window. That one window that brings in light. I wonder how many inmates, and I kind of even wondered at that moment, how many inmates were looking at that window, looking at the light, thinking about it, what's going on beyond that, what's going on in the daytime in that the rest of the city. You know, we don't have to wonder that. Because the light of Jesus, as the window to this world, shows us His Father, shows us His glory, shows us His wonder, shows us His love, shows us His power. And that is why when He is God's window to this world, He's also the window to our heart. And we just need to look to Him so that we might live, truly live. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You again for this final public message and appeal that Jesus gave to the public there, His own people, the children of Israel, many who did believe in Him, and yet their faith was weak, some who might have been still on the fence about Him, but even still there were others who would not believe, and as we considered last time, came to the point where they could not believe because they were hardened in their hearts toward Jesus and toward Your light. Your window of Your light was shining so brightly upon them, and yet they turned away. They closed their eyes. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. And yet Jesus still cried out and said, "I am the light. I am the light. Look to Me and find the light." Oh, Father, I pray that You'll help us to see that Jesus is still Your window to this world and Your window to our lives so that we can have the light of life. Oh, Father, I pray that when we are going through these challenges in our own faith that we considered even here this morning, when our faith is weak, help us to remember to not look at the weakness of our faith, but rather to look to the light of Jesus, the One in whom our faith resides. Father, when we're struggling in darkness, I pray that we will not wallow in that darkness and look at that darkness and struggle through that darkness, but rather look to the light, knowing that there is a light at the end of that dark tunnel. There is a light shining upon us to draw us away from darkness into that marvelous light. And Lord, even when people and the world will try to bombard us with mockery or with resistance, oh, Father, help us again to realize and to remember that Jesus is always faithful. He's always faithful to the light that He was given, the commandment even that He was given by You. So, Father, we can turn to, look to, and trust in Him. Father, whatever our situation, whatever our struggle, whatever our sin, I pray that today we will once again look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Thank You for sending Jesus to be Your window of light to this world. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.